The presenting sponsor of Upmarket is Aereo, the best place to grow and manage your real estate media business, online at aereo.com. That's A-R-Y-E-O.com. Coming to you from the makeshift Upmarket Studios in the beautiful Ojai Valley of Southern California, this is Upmarket, a podcast about the business of real estate photography and media. My name is Reed Fish. I'm the CEO, the co-founder of Upmarket Media. I'm a little sad. No Mark Corcoran today. And you know what? Not even Chelsea. Chelsea, like, I think it's getting late. We're recording this at night. I think Chelsea's probably sound asleep in her feather bed of love. But I do have another member of the Upmarket podcast team here with us who's going to like kind of pinch hit co-host slash be a guest. And it is usually the silent person on our team, but it's Bethany Diedrich, our editor. And she's also the founder and the owner of Highland Visual, a real estate media company based in Davenport, Iowa. And Bethany, I know you're based in Iowa, but you were just in Tennessee. You just got back from the Shifter Summit. Can you give us, I just want a super brief recap. How was Shifter Summit?
I would say it'd be difficult for me to make it real brief, but I'll try because of how mind-blowing it was. Okay.
Oh, wow.
pressure's on now. No, it was incredible. And it's one of those things that, of course, would have been best witnessed in person. I had an incredible time, changed my perspective in a lot of things. Definitely had a lot of correlation to things on the real estate photography side, as far as from a business perspective, as a mindset perspective, that could be applicable to that space.
Right, because it's really focused on design and editorial work or architecture work, right?
Architecture, yeah, and commercial.
Yeah. So, okay. So, but there was a lot of crossover with real estate photography. And I know, and we were just talking before the show and you said, like, I want to sit down and watch a lot of those presentations again, because there was so much information. There was so much stuff in there that you kind of missed some of it in the real life thing. Well, guess what, Bethany? I have a way that you can, and anyone else can actually watch the Shifter Summit from the comfort of your own room, bedroom, living room, desk, mobile device. It is on demand. So if you go to shiftersummit.com and use the code Upmarket, you can get $100 off the on-demand version of the Shifter Summit, which has all of the presentations that you got to see live in person.
And it's really, really high quality too. They were using red cameras and everything. I was overwhelmed.
I saw, awesome. I saw a bunch of stuff coming out of there, man. And it looked really good. And the feedback I've heard from everyone is that it was amazing. It was awesome. So I can't wait to dive in, because I actually have a code to watch it on demand. So I cannot wait. Even me, who doesn't like to learn things, I can't wait to watch the Shifter Summit and maybe learn a few things that I can use in our real estate media business. So that's shiftersummit.com, and use the code Upmarket for $100 off the on-demand version of Shifter Summit. And so, Bethany, the real reason you're on here is I've noticed, and Mark has noticed too, we'll give a shout out to Mark, you're doing so much cool work in the real slash agent on camera for video space. And that's something we've been struggling with a lot at Upmarket Media. And I know it is a trend for real estate media companies to be producing this type of content. So we kind of want this episode to be all about that. And so I guess I want to start, Bethany, by saying, like, by asking how much of how much are reels and that kind of content driving your business right now?
I actually kind of fought against reels for quite some time.
Okay.
I used the word, that purist word, which really I needed to get over myself and just look at what the trends were demanding. The short form content really is key even now, especially because our attention spans are getting shorter and shorter. And so I try to also the price point too. Not that reels should be cheaper than the full form videos, but they take less time typically to shoot and to edit. So it was it was something for me. And then now I personally am I've been doing video for several years. I'm an efficient editor. So for me, it came more naturally. As real estate media business owners, our focus is on our real estate, our clients' branding. So
best way, I mean, that's what it's all about. Yeah.
best way to do that is to get them on camera. So I have a real estate client. They're a husband and wife team. They have a very fun, playful, like 90s sitcom dynamic, like husband is the way only way I can think of it. So even though those were full videos, I started thinking to myself, you know, it would be kind of cool to put this into a real format instead. And of course, it's nothing new. You know, we've seen people, I've seen people doing these for a long time already. But I thought, how can I make this appeal to more people and get them on camera? Because really, that's what it's all about is establishing their brand and being consistent in their branding and marketing.
So you were seeing an opportunity with these particular clients, and then so you started doing reels for them, or you just the kind of light bulb went off, and then you kind of started offering reels to your clients, and then you found that you've been able to sell them
because the form factor is so short. The time we need is short in comparison to a full shoot. I started kind of pitching it to my best clients, those that I work with the most, and said, hey, let's get you on camera more. It wasn't the best received at first. It kind of, it was a difficult thing to adopt because not everyone is an actor or an actress in this industry. Surprise.
Well, and that's the thing is I feel like, you know, and to be upfront, and we've, you know, kind of covered it in the podcast a bit, is that, you know, really since this podcast started for the last 2 years, we've been really trying to figure out to crack the nut on reels for at Upmarket Media and how are we, you know, selling these. And, you know, we have the, our quote unquote real product, which I think is like half price of our kind of typical like highlight, you know, 30 to 45 second video, which I think we charge $435 for in our reels or $200 or whatever. And if you want to like talk on camera, it's an extra 40 or 50. I honestly, I don't even know because we don't even sell that many of them. So I don't even know.
And, I'm right around there.
Yeah. And we've been struggling with actually selling them. And part of it I think is because our heart's not in it. Like we haven't been, that, you know, it's like, oh God, we need to offer reels. Okay. We'll offer reels, but then we're not being like super creative or, you know, or coming at it from a dynamic perspective. But I just know when we first started doing video back before I merged with Mark and we were doing, you know, when it was like, I was shooting everything and Liz, my wife was editing everything. You know, this was like 8-9 years ago now. You know, I was putting the agent on camera every single time. And it was that standard intro.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. I'm of this with this brokerage. Welcome to 123 Main Street. This beautiful house. And then they do a little spiel about it. And one of the biggest problems was like so many agents just lacked charisma on camera. And like, and it just was a struggle. And then I just found that even the agents who were good at it, after two or three of them, they'd be like, oh God, I don't want to get my hair done too. I just I don't want to be in this one. Just shoot the property. And then it evolves to then everyone just wants to shoot the property. And now I feel like the industry is coming back towards everyone wanting to be on camera, but our clients still have just not been in that space. And I think it can be like, they don't want to be on camera. They feel vulnerable. So, you know, how have you been able to convince your clients that they should be on camera and that even if they're not feeling comfortable, that, you know, you're going to be there to support them and make sure that they come off well.
Sometimes this takes getting to know the client first, and that can be a little bit difficult to do sometimes, especially if you are running, you know, a more, I don't want to say volume-based operation or, well,
but that's us. We have a bunch of clients I've never even met.
I'm actually going to give Kelsey Curtis a shout out. I took her.
Okay, we're fans. I'll allow it.
And I took her workshop at the last PMRE conference. And one thing that she really brought out that hit home with me, and then granted, this she's talking about portraits here and lifestyle branding photos, but protecting our clients' image, body image, you know, how we can't control how they feel about themselves, but we can help protect that image.
So yes, up front, I will tell them that if they have RBF, I'm going to say, you have RBF. Let's try for a little more natural approach or a natural smile. See if you can smile at the end of your sentences. I am always going to be upfront with them and tell them that I'd rather be honest with them and tell them where I'm seeing there being issues than them seeing this later on in the actual finished reel and then being, oh my goodness, why did Bethany let me do this? Why did she let me look like that on camera? I can't believe that.
There are some clients that really want to do it, but they're just not natural on camera. They're great in person. They're super charismatic, or they're very friendly. And
as soon as the camera turns on, all of that confidence just evaporates. They become stiff. They don't know what to say. They mess up and they start overthinking it. So what I try to tell them is that I've got you. I will listen to what you have to say. I will catch you. I will tell you if you say something stupid or if you stumble in your words or you need to do the take again. You don't have to overthink it. I will step in and tell you what you need to say. If it comes out weird or strange or funny, I can fix that in the edit. Don't worry about that part.
I tell them, talk to me. Tell me right. What you're planning mm-hmm. on showing me about this. What makes this property so special? You know, we'll maybe come up with some kind of hook or line, but who are you talking to? Think about who mm-hmm. you're talking to when you're looking at that camera. Are you talking mm-hmm. to just a void? Or you talking to someone who's potentially coming into this home to look at it? How would you come alive in that moment
right,
to
right.
share that with them? Sometimes it takes a couple takes and you got to get the cobwebs out. Mm-hmm. But yeah. But that's where the planning comes into play in the beginning, mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. sure.
And that's what scares me, right? Is when you, is those words like, oh, okay, fail to plan to fail. Well, it's like, I don't want to plan. Because as we're scaling, as we're having to, you know, because upmarket, we pride ourselves on being a volume business and we want to have more and more volume. So if every realtor who does a reel with us is expecting some bespoke content, some bespoke, you know, thing every single time, and especially if we're only charging $200, well, guess what? You ain't getting that. So then it becomes like, well, it then devolves back into, hi, I'm Reed Fish and I'm with Keller Williams, welcome to this Shangri-La. And, you know, it's like, then it just becomes that again, over and over and over again. So is that what you're doing in the product? Is it really is just that kind of, hey, this is who I am. This is the property. Or are you doing, you know, more of those, you know, is more creativity creeping into it?
A little more creativity creeps into it. I I'll be very transparent. A lot of the shoots that I do go on, they have kind of a rough general idea, especially if it's new or not a new client, but they're new to doing mm-hmm. reels. They'll send me their little, like, this is the little script that I have. And it is exactly that. Mm-hmm. And they're basically reading off the property description. They're not mm-hmm. telling me anything new. And we don't have to spend like all day coming up with brainstorming mm-hmm. ideas. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is on the fly. Sometimes it does happen on the fly. And we just kind of got to take a pause and think like, yeah. okay, let's think this through. What's going to be the biggest appeal of this property? Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's where it is in price. So mm-hmm. sometimes I've even come up and said, what's the price point on this property? And they'll say something like, oh, it's $239.9. And
free. Did you say that $239.9? Yeah, I thought you mean free. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Free.
This is $239.9. Oh my God. Anyway. Okay. We're not going to talk about that. Anyway, but yes. Go ahead. Yes.
But say it's $239.9 and it's in this neighborhood and it's like a desirable area and it's updated or you know things that are appealing mm-hmm. about the property. Be like, you get all this for under $250, like. It's about like grabbing mm-hmm. that. So she's like, oh,
what's the hook?
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. What's that? I had one recently. It was actually her first, she's a newer agent and it was her first time solo on camera. This one didn't go over very well, but the house backed up to a cemetery. Mm-hmm. And one of the thoughts I had was just like, you know, you could say, you know, the neighbors are really great. It's a dead quiet.
And yes, that's what I would want. Yes. Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. and I've actually had people be like, you know, what's the harm in saying that? It's about grabbing that attention.
Well, yeah, I'll do that just in regular life. The your biggest liability, if you just like display it and make a joke about it, then it neutralizes that liability. So, you know, right. I think oftentimes, you know, and maybe that's an angle in reels is like agents will want to hide of, you know, or downplay something. It's like, oh, actually just announce it, own it, and then make a joke about it. And then boom, you know, that's going to set you apart from the field because that's what it's about. Right. Because, and that's what I failed, but what gets me too about focusing on, well, this price or this property and this, whatever, it's like, remember we are like marketing the agents. We're not marketing the property, right? And the agent, of course, still wants to market that property. And I think it's it really can be about finding, you know, the personality of the agent. And so if it's kind of a funny new agent, maybe they want to make a joke about the dead quiet neighbors, but that, you know, $5 million, you know, whatever the top agent in the town is, maybe, you know, who's been doing it for 30 years is not going to want to make that joke. It's like, oh no, we take this, right, you know, very seriously.
Yeah.
Very
so you seriously. Have to kind of, yeah. So you have to kind of adjust your yeah. strategy. Based well, on yeah, that.
And that, and I guess that's what trips me up is because we're trying to figure out how what is the product and how do we scale that product? And I think it's one thing for me to be out there in the field, because I have a screenwriting background, I have a story background. I mean, I can, you know, you know me from the podcast, I can spin the yarns, I can do the thing, but it doesn't mean that my staff can, and they're all wonderful, right? And, but then that's just adding a whole different skill set and a whole different mindset to them to have to go out there and then figure it out with those agents that they may not know. They may not know, you know, have ever met the agent before. And so, you know, for them, then it's, unless the agent has it all set ahead of time, it's going to be really hard for them to kind of pull that unique thing out from the agent. Cause they're just trying to get I just want to get it in the can and send it off to the editors. I mean, that's what my staff is feeling, you know?
Yeah. And in that case, you know, we were talking about how we don't like to do the basics. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's okay to take a step back and keep it basic and maybe not necessarily list things, you know, mm-hmm. and be real rigid mm-hmm. and list things that people already know and introducing yourself and all that, yeah. because you can have labels and other, you know, titles and things come up, animations to kind of take care of that, right. if you really need to. Getting them on camera, period, even mm-hmm. if it's just for a little bit of time and just be like, hey, this is my newest listing. Check it out. And simplifying it down to that mm-hmm. can make a bigger impact than not doing it at all. And it gets sure. them in front of eyeballs. And sometimes it can be good for the algorithm. I've had clients, you know, we'll talk about this more in the social media sidebar, but they've had clients actually boost the posts and boost mm-hmm. on Instagram, boost on Facebook, and they get a lot sure. more eyeballs. They get a lot more DMs. They get, even if it's not exactly for that property, they get their brand in front of more people.
And that's the thing is and what it goes back to and what mystifies me about how we're not able to sell them when our whole mindset is like, we're not marketing properties. We're marketing agents. Well, if you're marketing agents, why are you showing the property? You know, I mean, you have to do a little bit of that, but you got to show the agent. And then when it does come up in search, when it does come up in the ad on the Facebook or, you know, whatever, you're going to see that agent. And the agent, the individual agents are their own brands. And so I just think it's so key and so important. And so why we're having this discussion is that, my God, the biggest service we can do to our clients is to promote them. Because that's mm-hmm. that's the ultimate end goal, right, is not to sell this property. It's to get them another listing, because when they get right. another listing, then we get another job. And that's,
right.
of course, the most important part is are we helping our clients thrive? And by them thriving, are they helping us thrive? You know, that's yeah. really what it's about. It's that symbiotic relationship.
Yeah. And that's where I've seen the most turnover has been when agents have taken notice of what other agents are doing, even if they may mm-hmm. not necessarily like what the agent is doing. They may have their own yes. idea. It may light that fire underneath them to inspire mm-hmm. them. But sometimes it just takes one or two. I had recently a managing broker reach out to me, and they're just like, you know, I like that you do these videos and I like the reels that got my attention, but I like that you promote mm-hmm. or cross promote. I don't see other people in the industry mm-hmm. doing that. So it doesn't necessarily always correlate back to reels themselves. But mm-hmm. people noticing that you are doing something different, and mm-hmm. if you can be somewhat consistent with it, even if you can't necessarily scale it quickly right away, mm-hmm. it can help create some turnover to other products, to them coming over sure. to you for like, I like what you guys are doing. I like that you value, you know, or you're putting so much emphasis and importance on marketing your clients. Mm-hmm. I love what you do. So tell me more. You know, mm-hmm. so that's, I yeah. mean, that's kind of the other side of that too.
Totally. Bethany, So much to think about. So there's so much to think about. I need to take a little break right now. And so we'll play some music. We'll have some more talk. We're going to have our social media sidebar. Then we're going to come back for a bunch more talk about Reels. And then at the end, oh man, Bethany, she's edited so many of these podcasts. She knows all about action items. She knows all about it. And Bethany is a woman of action. So I know she has got the banger of all bangers, action items. So stick around to the very end. We'll be right back. Bethany, I think we have a lot in common now that we've worked together for a while. I think one of the things we have in common is we're both in love. We're in love with Aereo.
Yes, love Aereo. And so do my clients.
Well, yeah, well, of course. And I know we have the app, the, you know, Aereo has made the Upmarket Media app. And so our clients use it. They download their photos. And I know you don't have that, but I think you do exist in that Aereo app world. Can you tell me about what your experience is with that?
Yes. So I find out, you know, do you download on your desktop? Do you download on your phone? Mm-hmm. What are you, know, how on the go are you? And what I found is that a lot of my clients like to just do everything on their phones. They don't want to deal with the desktop madness and zip files and all that stuff. So what I've done is turn them onto the Aereo Go app. They just log in with their account like they normally would. And they can download all their photos, their media, their videos, everything to their phone in a format that is small enough to fit their phone. So it'll be high quality enough. They can post it directly from their phone. They don't have to worry about browsers not communicating and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. That's been our biggest selling point on people downloading the Upmarket Media app, which is powered by Aereo. Well, and that's really amazing. So if you use Aereo, you can pay a bit extra and have your own app that's branded to yourself, or that you can have your clients use the Aereo Go app, which will have a lot of that same functionality. And if you want to get in on the party, if you want to be in love, I don't know what your personal situation is. Beth and I are both married, but you know what? There's more love in our heart. We can love Aereo. It's platonic.
We can throuple it with Aereo.
Perfect. We're in a thruple with Aereo. It's a beautiful thing. Go to Aereo.com, use the code Upmarket, and if you're a new user, you're going to get 15 free bonus listings. Join the love. So Bethany, I feel like, you know, I live on the West Coast and I know a lot of people on the East Coast, and, you know, we're all elitists out on the coasts. And I think we have this vision that, you know, we're like the only ones into floor plans. But how are floor plans in Iowa? Are people as crazy about floor plans in Iowa as they are out on the coasts?
You know, I would say we're a close third.
A close third.
But, well, that's huge. But we definitely love our floor plans out here in the Midwest.
Well, of course you do, because everyone knows that floor plans are great. And you know what I was thinking? I was thinking about Iowa, and you know what would be the coolest floor plan that I can think of? Is
a cornfield?
Go out. Yeah. Well, no, you could, a very specific cornfield. You could go out to that cornfield where they do the Field of Dreams thing, and you could do a floor plan of the Field of Dreams field. And you know what, Bethany?
I could.
If you were going to do that, an app you could use is Second Floor app. So if you went and you did a floor plan of the Field of Dreams field, you could get a GLA of that field. You could get a floor plan of that field. And would that come, would that take a week? Oh no, it wouldn't. Nope. It would be instant. You could get the instant floor plan from Second Floor app. Second Floor app, one of the best ways that you can get a floor plan for your client and deliver it to them as quickly as possible. So go to secondfloorapp.com/upmarket and you're going to get a free month of service. That's Second Floor app, all spelled out, secondfloorapp.com/upmarket, and you're going to get a free month of service. All right, social media sidebar time. Look, man, Bethany, you know the importance of reviews in your business. And we're running a business here. This podcast is a business. I mean, it is a business, in quotes, but it is still a business. So we appreciate reviews. Go on your podcast app of choice, rate us 5 stars, give us a review that is very positive, please. Your friends at Unmarked Pod, look at Bethany here. We got to feed Bethany. We got to give her money to edit this podcast. So, you know, and reviews help us do that. So please do that. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we're Unmarked Pod. And we're going to, and you really should follow us, because we're going to have some freaking big announcements coming up soon. I mean, and Bethany knows. She knows what's coming. She can't say anything, but she knows what's coming. And it's actually better and bigger than you think it's going to be. Not you, Bethany, because you know, but the average listener, they don't know what's coming. But it's going to be better and bigger than you think it's going to be. And you can follow us, upmarket.media, on Instagram if you want to follow our actual real estate media business. And Bethany, where can we find you on social media?
I'm Highland Visual on Facebook, and I am at Highland_Visual, no S at the end. That's happened before. Just Visual.
Okay, just Visual.
On Instagram. There is a Highland Visuals, but they are in Scotland. So I am not in Scotland. I am here.
Oh, I should follow them. I could probably see a Shetland
pony. You should. I've actually gotten calls to do work there. Yeah, so it'd be great.
All right. Yeah, fantastic. Highland Visuals, a recommended follow. And so, you know, as we're talking about reels and everything else, that is kind of social media. The whole episode is kind of social media, but I think what we want to drill down to in our social media sidebar is when we are talking to agents, when we are trying to sell reels to them, do we have any hard metrics? Do we have any results-oriented data that we can give them to kind of help seal the deal? Or at least, and even if it's just anecdotal, like, do you have kind of stats to back up the products we're selling?
Yeah, I had a client actually today. I reached out to her because we've done several reels together and they've performed very well. The last three that we've done have gotten a combined about 25,000 views, mm-hmm. which, you know, doesn't seem like a whole lot in theory, but when you're considering the follower count is not very high. And we're in Iowa. Yeah,
you're in Podunk, Iowa. Come on.
We're in Podunk, Iowa. She's an agent with Real, and like the Real network is growing mm-hmm. exponentially. Mm-hmm. They're very social focused. And so one thing that she's done is she did do some sponsored posts. She did that on like Instagram and Facebook, which should boost mm-hmm. that a bit. But one fun little thing is that I decided, because the day that we did this shoot, it was for a lot. It was like a $350,000. I can't remember how big it was, but it had mm-hmm. like a little lake in the middle and it was ready to be built on, but it was just like kind of boring. It's on the way west side of town. It's like, it's in an area that isn't as developed. Mm-hmm. She came up with this idea of like, it's the size of 4 football fields and how can you visualize that? And she's just like, you know, if you want to mm-hmm. know how to visualize that, take a look. And then I had her on the drone and we sent the drone up in the air and you could mm-hmm. see it. And that was like our approach for that reel. However, she had a lot of bloopers in that reel. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. she's pretty funny. She's a theater kid already, which she felt mm-hmm. like she was off her game that day. Like she couldn't like get things mm-hmm. right. And she kept screwing things up. But we decided to turn that around and I created a blooper reel and I put the little mm-hmm. you know, cuss beeps and all that mm-hmm. over. And, you know, I have fun making these things. And so, you know, I'm giggling to myself as mm-hmm. I'm making it, and I send it to her and she's like, oh my God, I have to post this. She posts it and it got naturally like 5,000 views just right. by itself before right. even posting the real thing. But it kind of also built anticipation for when the reel came out mm-hmm. for the real property. And so it drove a lot of engagement and drove a lot of traffic to her page, mm-hmm. to her DM. So it still had that good intended result. Right. So, you know, real numbers are not always everything. It just depends on who those reels are reaching.
Yeah, well, of course, right? And when you say, oh, it went viral, or it went, and I think I remember when Cheyenne talked at Pierre-Marie, she had some reels that went quote-unquote viral. But then I think she was saying like, well, but that actually doesn't bring a lot of value to the realtor. Because if you get the 100,000 views, but none of them are in your, or, you know, 1% of them are in your home area, who cares? Because they're, you know, if an agent or someone in my town watches your agent's reel, that doesn't do them anything, because no one in my town is going to buy in Davenport, Iowa. or sell.
And also their demographic. Yeah, the demographic they may be in. I mean, how many of those people that are watching those viral reels are actually in a position to buy a home?
Yeah, no, exactly. You know? So it's really the quality of the views. But I think when an agent does get, if all of a sudden they're like, hey man, this is blowing up, I got 25,000 views, that gives them a little more, you know, what, social proof, right? That there are, that, hey, I'm hip, I know what's going on. And it does show to their actual followers that it's like, oh, this person is like, oh wow, they're, you know, I know them here, but man, they're big everywhere. I mean, you know, so I'm really, you know, so I think
it
there is
the profile.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think there is a benefit to it, even though it doesn't necessarily correlate to anyone, any particular one of those 25,000 viewers actually doing business with that realtor. Mm-hmm. It does enhance and elevate their social profile.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to come back and then we're going to talk more with Bethany about it. And then we're going to end with our action items. All right. See you in a sec. Okay, Bethany, I think we can come up with some hot takes, because I think the people, we're like, you know, 2/3 of the way through the show. And I think, you know, at this time of the show, people are like jonesing for hot takes. They're getting a little bored. They want to hear the stuff. So I know one of your hot takes is you hate speed ramps.
Hate is a pretty strong term. I use speed
strongly
ramps,
dislike,
actually.
Despise. I don't know what's
speed ramps have their place,
okay.
I will say. I would say overuse of speed ramps, unless they have a purpose or an intention. Mm-hmm. It's like, use them sparingly if you
and
can.
And are you going to, and are you lumping in, and I think we're really, I think what we're doing right now is we're talking to the transition bros, right? So we got the speed ramps, we got the shakes,
we got the fling the, through the house.
Yeah.
Have you seen those? So, the fling through the house. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just for shock and awe. But like, tons of people are duplicating each other doing it. It's like, I don't know whose work is whose. So,
sure. Well, some of those might be upmarket. So don't talk too much shit.
But
I mean, in all seriousness though, I think, you know, and I'm just kind of looking through our notes here that we made, before the show and what we're going to talk about, but that, you're kind of advocating more of a measured approach towards those transitions. Because, you know, just because they're flashy doesn't mean that we should be relying on them, I guess is what you're saying.
Right. It's fun to like impress people, to impress your friends, family with like really whoopy, just swoopy transitions and all these things. You get attention, you get your likes, but does it really represent you as a brand and like get the attention of the people that you're trying to sell to? Like I've had agents that are literally like, I like what you're doing, but, and they've seen the work I've done before with videos. And so they know like I have different approaches, but they're just like, please do not throw me around the house. I feel like I have motion sickness. I'm going to barf. So obviously we can't please everybody, kind of having that mindset of like, we don't always have to show the entire house either. We don't have to fling ourselves through every single bedroom. It's about highlighting the best parts of the space. And if good direction and editing will always set you apart. That's what I firmly believe. You do not even have to have one transition to make a good video. You just have to have the right cuts and the right content, which I know can be difficult on some houses because some houses are just duds, but you also have agents that want to be consistent in their branding. So they want a reel on every single house, even if it's a dud, like they want everybody to know.
That's the sweet spot, man. That's where we want to be. That's, yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And so like, if you can't create a good edit without those transitions, ask yourself why. Because the ultimate goal again is to get people in the house, not show them the entire thing and make the decision for them before they step foot in the house. We want people to get in there. We want people to see, ooh, I like what that agent's doing. I like that agent isn't making me want to hurl.
And the goal is like, I want to call that agent. I want to work with that agent. Right. Mm-hmm. And again, it doesn't end up being about the house, but I do think, and I'll argue the other side a little bit, that some of those flashy techniques can really help a certain agent stand out. And so if you are with that, you know, like we talked, you know, kind of that fictional, hey, top agent who's been there for 30 years and, you know, just has the high end clientele and whatever, hey, maybe they want a more elegant feel to their videos, but someone who is, you know, the millennial agent or, you know, or the, even the Gen Z agents now, I'm sure they're around, is like, hey, they want to have that flash. That actually is what sets them apart. And so, you know, and
that's where it has a place. That's why it has a place. It's just it's like, whatever you do, do it with intention. So yes, if you do have a younger Gen Z slash millennial client, I mean, I hate to date myself here, but like, it's like as your clients get older or the generations change, their tastes may change. And so having a one size fits all approach may not work for you. And so that also comes into play when you're looking at your editors too, if you are outsourcing, which so many of us do. And so that's another thing to look at as well, is that like, do you have the bandwidth or capacity to have those conversations with the editor? Does the editor understand, you know, that not every single edit you send them has to be the same way? It just kind of comes down to how you want to represent yourself.
Right. Well, and I think that, and that does bring us to, I think, one of the keys to unlocking the real product. And it's something that we've thought about and because we haven't, because really, I think we did a few reels and they've been okay. And then we really haven't been doing any or many at all. And in that time, we've actually started outsourcing all of our editing. And so as we're, you know, if we were to get some on-camera stuff and all that. And in fact, we have one this week. It's more of a legacy project, you know, and it's a bigger property that is like a much more bespoke, longer video, so that we'll have Marco, you know, on our staff edit it. But if we're going to do those on-camera agent reels that we're charging $200 for, you know, who's editing that? I mean, and obviously it sounds like you're doing for you, you know, you're doing all your video editing, but for a scaled company, that's, you know, that to me is part of the issue is like, can our editors do that? Can we communicate with them effectively? Right. And I, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I'm sure that they can. I'm probably underestimating them, but it does feel like just one more hurdle in the workflow.
Obviously English comprehension is really important. And so that may, you know, be a factor as well, depending on where you outsource. And also too, it may also require a little more time as far as like the culling. Obviously we want to get things in as little takes as possible. Mm-hmm. One other thing that I recommend is when all else fails, get B-roll, even if it's not like swooping around the house, which I do quite a bit. I do, and that's where I do utilize speed ramps. I do utilize it to get it around. I do swoop. I swoop sometimes. So speed ramps aren't all bad. It's achieving, you know, so speed through certain rooms, but I don't do it through every room. I don't do it through the entire house. I do have selected segments where maybe I'll have a detail, like a fireplace, some kind of detail in the house that's, you know, woodwork or some other thing that's pretty that requires its own, you know, clip, its own moment. But B-roll over what an agent says can really save you, because sometimes an agent just can't, like, you don't want to watch somebody for 10, 15 seconds on camera. You want 2-3 seconds of a little bit of something. And then you cut to some B-roll. They may still be talking a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's where you may utilize your multiple cuts. So that might be where, you know, you may have to go and look through your clips and kind of find like, okay, what can I cut before I send to my editor, and what can I leave them and just tell them, you know, heavily use B-roll when necessary. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, this is something weddings taught me this. This is something when I was doing weddings more frequently, is that you don't need someone talking on camera, even if it's vows or whatever, for 5-10 seconds. You literally have a couple words and then you move on to something else that's visually engaging that takes the attention away from them. I wish I had a more clear defined answer that would fix it for everybody as far as the solution. But, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Well, no. And I just think it is the bane of it. And the trick of it is just like, how do we at scale produce this kind of content? And, you know, the more it's like, oh yeah, you know, you have to cold the footage, you have to do this. It just brings up all these hurdles. And yeah. I almost wonder if it's like a, I don't know. I mean, I just think it really just boils down to your relationship to your editor and having a great editor. I mean, I think that's mm-hmm. that's just what it is. And that editor that can be important. You. It can be someone in your in-house staff or it can be someone outsourced. And I think I just want to be careful not to lump in, oh, it's, you know, you're outsourcing to foreign countries. They're not going to understand. I mean, I think that's a really,
no.
that is not the right attitude to have at all. Mm-hmm. So I just do know from our experience in sometimes communicating some of the video stuff to our editors, there can be stuff that gets lost in translation, and that's even without having agent on camera, you know, stuff. So
absolutely. And when I mentioned the English comprehension, that was more directed towards them picking sure. what clips and mm-hmm. the inflection and things like that are
yeah.
For those
I
that
couldn't
are
do it. I wouldn't, if I'm seeing two different takes in Vietnamese, I have no idea. So
absolutely.
So how would you expect anyone who's not a native English speaker to know that? So
for sure. I will say that, I am opening it up to the market audience. If you have any questions, if you're curious, if you want to know anything else, like as far as like how to get started, have any questions at all, I am an open book. I've been helping, coaching, giving feedback for years on video editing, how to shoot, how to find an editor, what to look for. So I am accessible. So if anybody mm-hmm. has questions, you know, feel free to reach out to me. You know, I'm happy to help.
DMs are open, people.
DMs are open. RIP my DMs.
Yes, you have many editors. No, I don't think any editors listen to our podcast.
Probably not.
You're the only one, Bethany. You're the only editor. So I think I kind of asked this before, and I just want to drill down just a little bit more on, and I know you said you have agents coming to you asking for the product and that the product kind of markets itself, but when you are talking to an agent, what is the pitch that you are giving? To how, if an agent is curious about it, how are you cementing the sale? What are you saying to them that converts them?
I ask them what their goal is. I simply ask, what are you wanting to accomplish with this reel? And a lot of the times they don't know from the outset. Mm. And so that's when I reinforce and say, okay, you know, this is something I know how to do and I know how to do very well. It's mm-hmm. something that I specialize in. But I can't do it all for you. Mm-hmm. Just like a screenwriter on set, like obviously, you know, a director doesn't do every single job. Yes. There has to be different players that work here. Find the nuggets that could be appealing about that property, whether it's the price point, whether it's the neighborhood, the school district. That's always a big one, is school district. Proximity to newer developments, to entertainment spots, to anything that is going to be like, this is where this, you know, this is where this property's at. But most mm-hmm. of the time it's been, oh, let me think, you know, let me really think about this. And they get excited about it because they see that I'm excited and I'm engaged mm-hmm. with it. And I want to see them succeed. And so I think that's what's helped me be successful. I mean, yes, I'm still having, this year I think will be the biggest one yet for reels, especially for myself. Mm-hmm. And my average invoice has gone way up because of them. So I think that's something to consider too, is that agents really want to set themselves apart. And so we find a way to do it. And if that requires more time, then so be it. They may not be ready, even if they have a really great property. Maybe they're just not ready yet. That's okay. We mm-hmm. just continue that conversation until we find an angle for them.
Sure. And so now, you know, when you're talking about when my average invoice went up, now that's music to my ears. I want to hear more about that. So when you're doing reels, are these in expense of your traditional videos, or are they in addition to your traditional property videos?
To a degree, they are at the expense of my traditional videos, but I am not upset about it whatsoever, because I actually think that there is tremendous value in reels as opposed to cinematic videos. That might be a little bit of a mm-hmm. hot take as well. I think cinematic videos have their place. Mm-hmm. And that is what I enjoy as a creator. We like making things look pretty. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we have to be realistic and see, okay, how many people is this video going to reach? If it's mm-hmm. If we have an MLS version and it's going to YouTube or whatever, and they have a mm-hmm. link, it's going to go on the MLS and people are going to see it through the MLS. But really, the reels get so many more views and engagement than mm-hmm. the cinematic videos, even when they're posting them directly to Facebook. Mm-hmm. Instagram isn't really friendly with horizontal. So that, again, that's another thing that kind of comes into play there. And so, yes, I have sacrificed mm-hmm. many of my potential cinematic videos. Like, I just did a house yesterday that was like 1.2 million that they just did a reel and they didn't do a full video, which in the end, it probably was a good idea to do the reel, even though it was a more expensive house. So more expensive right. home doesn't necessarily equal full video. But I think because I was doing a smaller fraction of the cinematic videos, and they're really, the price point is maybe about 60% the cost mm-hmm. of a cinematic video, but mm-hmm. it's taking me a lot less time. And I'm booking them on nearly, not every shoot, but for specific mm-hmm. clients, every shoot.
With your cinematic video product, you were not booking those at the same rate.
No, very, very, I wouldn't say rarely, but I would say maybe one a week. Maybe.
Oh, okay. That's not much volume at all. Yeah.
No, one or 2 weeks. And again, you know, I'm just myself.
Sure.
But one or two a week. But with reels, I'm probably doing between 3 and 5 a week. So when you look at the bottom line, drone is being added. Mm-hmm. Usually they're adding drone and other things, which also increase that invoice number mm-hmm. as well. So I'm looking at it. I'm trying to look at it from the perspective that it's saving me time. Mm-hmm. Granted, you know, it's more natural for me because I am an editor. So yes, that is something to consider. I'm not, you know, it's not necessarily always reasonable to think of, but you are going to, if you're saving your time by not having to shoot the entire house by doing a vertical video, whether it's on your phone or whether you have a vertical mount for your mirrorless or your mm-hmm. DSLR or whatever, which is what I do, and incorporate it that way, you still get that high quality. Mm-hmm. Without making people feel like they have to invest twice as much to not necessarily mm-hmm. get the return that they want.
Right. Well, and so really quick, I just want to end with, and it's funny, we did this in our last episode a little bit, because this is, I hate talking about gear, but I'm going to ask you a gear question. What gear are you using for these? And, you know, because one of the big things that we have to think about when we're sending our people out is, how is the sound, right? So of course you can capture these on your phone. You can capture them, you know, vertically with your regular camera, but what are you using for sound and how does that work and what's the workflow?
Yes. So, there's lots of options out there for every budget. Technology is really improved even with like the knockoff stuff. Not that I recommend the knockoff stuff necessarily, mm-hmm. but you know, teach their own. I used to use the Rode product, Rode Wireless mm-hmm. Goes.
We have some Rode Goes. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're nice. However, I've recently switched over to the DJI Mic 2, mm-hmm. which is, okay. that oh, looks like this.
You happen to have one right there in your hand.
I do. Cause I actually have mine on here right
oh,
now.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. As a backup audio. Great.
I mean, come on, if I'm going to be on the podcast and talk about reels, I have to walk the walk and talk the talk.
Absolutely.
So, I actually have the one that has two receivers or two microphones. So, having a receiver plugged mm-hmm. into your camera, which, actually this one comes with adapters for your phones. Mm-hmm. It comes with iPhone and Android, or Type-C. Mm-hmm. Type C or which, Lightning.
Which the new iPhones are Type C too. So
right, Type C. So that's the most convenient way because it bakes your audio in. You don't have to like have something. So I used to have separate recorders and I used to have to sync in post and it was just a pain.
100%. That's where my mindset is. I'm like, I can't deal with that.
Yeah. So this bakes your audio in. You can set your gain levels to a point where if you have a really loud talker, someone who shouts into the microphone, which I've heard mm-hmm. happen a lot, you hear that like really mm-hmm. loud peaking noise that happens when your levels are too high. So that can have an auto level. It's really kind of idiot proof. So I'm not like saying anything about who's an idiot. I'm just saying like anybody can use it.
Anyone on our staff could use it. Okay. even Mark. So even Mark.
Be nice to Mark. I recommend something like that. But again, there's lots of options out there. You just want to know, you want to have something that will bake your audio in so that you don't have to sync it later.
Right. No, and perfect.
That's pretty much what I use for sound. It's pretty basic. And you can buy a little lavalier. You know, I've got a little clip-on microphone here. It doesn't have to be a brand name or anything, but you can plug that actually in to this here. That's actually what I have plugged in here. And they come with windscreens. And so that even if you're inside, you know, you don't have an echo if you have your windscreen on. Sometimes it looks funny if you have a the little dead cat thing, but that can cut down on echo as well.
Sure. Okay. Well, then, and the other thing as we're talking about sound is when we've done these and we're getting it more and more and more is like, we've always had it. And, you know, 7 or 8 years ago when someone would be like, could you have, Here Comes the Sun as the song? You're like, no, I think someone in the Facebook group just posted that. And I was like, you're like, no, we can't. And so what are you doing about music? And now, of course, when people are requesting a popular song, you can say, well, we can't have it in, but when you post it, you can add that song to it.
Right. So yes. So that's an option. If they are insistent on wanting to use a popular song, what I found is that if you have a business account and not a creator account, you cannot use the licensed music. You cannot use the popular music on Instagram. So if you want to do a collaboration with your client and you want to use like Beyonce's Texas Hold'em or whatever the latest trend is, what I found is that you add them as a collaborator and it's like, sorry, this person isn't able to access this music. And you're like, oh, great. So now you can't collaborate with them. Because they have a business account. If they have a creator account, then they could. But most of them don't.
But realtors are not going to have creator accounts. Yeah.
No. And they there's not really a reason for them to. So what I end up doing is one of two things. One, which is the most common, is I just use high quality music licensing sites. Like there's Artlist. I use MusicBed for everything. It's not the cheapest, but it's the best selection for me. Mm-hmm. There's Soundstripe. There's a whole litany of sites to license from.
Our theme song is from Soundstripe.
Yes, it is. I do know that. Yeah. And alternatively, there have been times where I've actually like ripped something from YouTube and I've layered it over. And then that's where you see like when it says original sound and it's by you and it's not your original sound. And this happens sometimes when I actually will chop up the music and stitch it together so that it goes more smoothly. That's a whole other topic of conversation. The risk with that is that you risk being muted, by Facebook or Instagram, which is not a good look, but at the same time, it probably won't happen right away. So this is the unofficial, guidance on that. Right. But I would recommend using licensed music whenever possible. And there's lots of options out there.
Of course. All right. Well, that's excellent. And so, definitely when we want to put in music, that means we have to take action on that music, right? So, which means if we're taking action, it's time for our action items. And we're so happy that our action items this week are sponsored by Pixel CRM. Unlock the full potential of your real estate media business with Pixel CRM, the all-in-one CRM and marketing platform built by a real estate photographer. For real estate photographers and media professionals, Pixel CRM is designed to help you attract and retain clients through marketing systems and automation. You can go to pixelcrm.com/outmarket and you can get a 30-day risk-free trial. And that Pixel CRM is spelled pixelcrm.com/upmarket. And Pixel CRM, I know for us, we've been using it a bit. We're still diving in. There's so much to get into, but man, are our Google reviews just going through the roof? Thanks to Pixel CRM. They are people of action. So Bethany, you and I, we both love action. So I'm going to go first. I'm going to leave it to our editor to go last. We're going to end the show with you. Okay. So, I have been trying, I think, a little bit to make my action items kind of relate to the show. And this one does a little bit because it does kind of relate to social media. But and this is an action item for people who do have employees or other people working with them. And I think it's just something that I've been thinking about quite a bit. And it kind of relates to Chelsea a little bit, is that my action item for a business owner is to talk to your employees about what they are interested in, what they like, and then try to give them opportunities in your business to explore those areas. And I know for Chelsea, you know, it's just come up and we've been talking about her role in the company and, you know, what all she does. And she produces the podcast and she does admin, but I think there's also other things that she can do, other skills that she has. And one of them is that we've been really talking about growing the social media side of our business and really helping our clients, with their social media, not just with property related videos, but with other content. And I think that's an area where, we can really see Chelsea grow and we can really see her bring a lot more value to the company and then also be more fulfilled. So I think that it's a little bit of a nebulous action item and it's maybe not so clear, but I think it's just have that conversation with your employees about what they're passionate about that kind of relates to your business. And then see if there's a way, just have the conversation. That's the action item, right? And then ultimately, once you do that, hopefully you can find a way to have them, you know, kind of blossom into something else within your company. Maybe someone says, oh, I really like taking portraits. You're like, oh, well, maybe we can have a more of a branding arm of our company, you know? So, you know, that's kind of the way that I could see that going. But I think just having that conversation with your employees about what it is that drives them and fuels their creativity.
Yeah. You don't know what you don't know.
All right, Bethany, hit me with it.
Well, mine has to do with conversations as well, but with your clients.
Oh,
so
all right.
Try to keep it simple. Obviously, the action item I have is not going to be like deep dive into the world of reels and getting your agents on camera because it's not going to happen super quickly. So pick a client that you have a good relationship with and see how they feel about it. See how they feel about getting on camera. You know, gauge personalities. You know, see, sometimes some are more favorable to it than others. Mm-hmm. So have that conversation. Ask them, hey, would you, mm-hmm. I'm looking to do this. I'm looking to get into it. I've got some new gear. See if they'd be open to a shoot. Maybe even get together, talk about what their goals are, how they would like to approach their branding in a different way and see where their ideas head. Maybe brainstorm a bit, spend that extra time with them, maybe just one client at a time. And that way, maybe it can also help to bolster the relationship as well. Have a shoot, see how it goes, or even the next time you have a shoot with them or for them, say, hey, do you want to get on this? I've actually done this several times where I'd be like, hey, do you want to get on camera real quick? It's worth the conversation and seeing if it's something to be interested in, no strings attached. You can, you know, charge or not charge mm-hmm. or however you feel comfortable. And what I have found in every case with every client I have ever put on camera is that the more they do it, the more they love it, the more confident they feel, and the more likely they are to continue wanting to do these reels.
I'll distill that down a little more and we'll give like a little final co-action item is literally, I'm just going to take one snippet of that. And it is ask them to get on camera, ask a client to get on camera, be at a shoot, ask them to get on camera and just do it. Don't charge them. Just do it. Just get them on camera. There you go. That's an action item to end all action items. Bethany. Oh, I want to say now that we have you here with us that I know Mark and Chelsea and I, we so appreciate everything you do for the podcast. The way you edit it and the care you take. And then, you know, you're in our Slack with us and you're coming up with ideas and you're always, positive and fun. And we really appreciate everything that you do and bring to the podcast. And I'm so happy that you've been on this episode and I'm happy to continue our collaboration as we're moving forward. So thank you so much, Bethany. We really appreciate it. And I know you joined me in thanking our listeners. Where would we be without our listeners? The most important thing of all is our listeners.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You got it. All right, Bethany, Now get to work editing this damn thing.
Okay. Hey, can I put a laugh track in this one?
You can do whatever you want.
I am the editor, right. God. You will listen.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you. All right. We'll be back very soon with a new episode.
Upmarket is a production of Upmarket Studios. This episode was produced by Chelsea Froelich and edited by Bethany Diedrich. Thank you so much for listening, and we really hope you listen to the next one too. In the meantime, our wish for you is to not have to shoot any Friday night Twilight shoots. Thank you for everything.